We are in 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John. We're not in Peter anymore. I work with computers. I work with email, mostly email security, dealing with things that get sent to businesses to basically take control of their systems or give viruses or do interesting things. A lot of those emails get through because of they fake that there's something else. If I wanted to send the entire church an email saying, I am Tom Clement, and use his email address, I could completely do that, and most of you would have no clue that it came from me. Because it's fairly simple to do. I can fake it. I can make myself look like someone else. In fact, I can send you different links that would take you to a different place that look like one link and is actually another link. This is happens fairly often, and then you click on the link, you get there, and everything's okay, right? It looks like the bank you go to all the time. It looks like the place where you pay a bill. And then you could even scan it, and it'd be okay. And then a few days later, I'll change the contents of that link so then that steals all your information. There's lots of different, nobody do this. I know bad ways to do things, but there's all these scams that go on all the time. And it's fun because as most companies, you have to do certification on different security things. And you go through, and one of the things we had to do was identify when something's fake, an email. Has anybody have to take that for their work? That no? Some yes. So some of you, when you're working with the systems, you have to take this little class to see if something's a real email or a fake email. And there's really simple things like if something's written incorrectly, if the bad grammar is used, if bad spelling is used, you can figure things out. But most of the things I deal with are much, much more difficult to tell the difference, because they're not like spam that goes to everybody. When you see that thing in your inbox that says eBay or something, you know, with an extra A, you know that's probably not really eBay. But the things I'm dealing with are very, very subtle, and it's hard to tell the difference. They're crafted by thieves who are purposely trying to steal money from a company and making the fairly smart CEO, hopefully, think that they're real. And it's hard to tell what's fake and what's real, because they look so much the same. But as you start examining the email and seeing what they're linking you to, you realize there's bad things there. Maybe a lot of you aren't getting this. How about muscle cars? The old days, you see like a Mustang, maybe in the 80s with a V8, right? That's a muscle car, pretty fast. Ever see the ones with a V6? You think it's the V8, you get in, and you start it up, and you hit the gas, and it's like, aww. No power. And it's changed. V6s have a lot more power now. But the old cars, where you'd have you'd think the company made it look like the most powerful car in the world. It has everything all set. But when you get in it, and you want that power, it has a little engine, because it all just looks. There's no reality there. And then you hit the gas, and there's nothing. Right? It's a fake. It's an imposter. What we're going to talk about today is an imposter. The imposter Christian. The person who says they're a Christian and aren't. And how do you tell? John says, this is how you tell. These are some things you look at. This is the difference between a real email from eBay and a fake email from eBay that's trying to steal all your money. This is the difference. So turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for your word and just the truths that you teach us, and just help us to be receptive to what you'd have us learn, and keep our focus upon you. We ask that you give Frank and Diane peace at this time, and just encourage them and strengthen them. And just thank you that Bianca and I are feeling better, and for the blessings you've provided for us. In your name, amen. Now, remember last week we talked about fellowship. We have a partnership. We have fellowship with God as a Christian. We have fellowship. We have fellowship together. We're partnered together in this. There's a commonality in thought. We're in this together. We're Christians. We have a different thought process. Our goals in life are different. We want to please God and do what he wants us to do. We are partners together. Okay, you have that commonality. You understand that. And so you have this. And John here, it says, this is the message. This is what he was taught. This is the message we have heard from him. This is where, when you're sitting there at Jesus' feet for all those years, this is what Jesus was teaching him. This is what the apostles taught the churches when they spread the gospel. This is the message. So John says this, God is light. And you go, wow, that's deep. God is light. What does it mean? What does it mean? If I said to you, God is love, could someone tell me what it meant? Probably. But if I tell you God is light, that we're not as familiar with. We read that and we go, huh, well, what exactly does that mean? One commentator, I was trying to explain it. He says this, light is immaterial, diffusive, pure, glorious, and it is the condition of life. Physically, it represents glory. Intellectually, truth. And morally, holiness. As immaterial, it corresponds to God as spirit. As diffusive, to God as love. As a condition of life, to God as life. As pure and illuminating, to God as holiness and truth. That's neat. But how do you put that together? What does that mean in practical terms? When we say, like, God is love, we can say, well, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. Right? We can say, in fact, we can see later on in 1 John where God says he's love and then describes sending Christ to die for us. But it's hard when we say God is light. We pass by that a lot of times, or I do, because it's hard to define. I think the best way to look at it, to get a better grasp, as opposed to just looking at these big words and saying, well, it's immaterial, it's glorious. I think that's true, But let's look at how it's used. Where does it say God is light? Turn to the Gospel of John. We can look back at the Gospel of John and look at how John used this concept of God being light to help us understand what he's trying to say here. We first look at John chapter 1. And John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." So it's the true light. And who is this light? Who is coming into the world? Who's John talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the light. John 1 verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Life was in Christ. This theme of Christ being the light of men and the source of life is repeated over and over and over again through John and throughout the rest of the scripture. The idea that life and light are connected, eternal life through Christ. And Christ gives this light to humanity. This light, verse 5 of chapter 1, shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it, or has not overcome it. And it's powerful. It is the victory. It overcomes, more powerful than darkness. It has victory over darkness. John the Baptist spoke of this light. He was the forerunner. He says, John 1 verse 6, "There was a man from God, man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." This light shows us something. It gives light to people. It shows. When you turn on the light, you see things. When Christ came, he showed the world something. He was in the world, Christ was in the world, and the world was made through him. What does that say? Christ is the creator, creator of the universe, yet the world did not know him. The world rejected him. Verse 11, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." So Christ comes, he's the light, he's shining, he's showing forth what's true. He's saying, "This is eternal life, accept this, accept me." He's giving the message of the gospel. And what does the world do? They reject it. They reject the light. Does everybody? No. Verse 12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The light is connected with Christ. This is eternal, the creator, the source of eternal life. It's revealed. There's an aspect of morality tied in with this, the goodness as opposed to darkness. There's an aspect of power. Overcomes the darkness. And this goes back to where we are in Christ. Remember as we're going through the book of Peter, over and over and over again, I emphasized, because I think Peter emphasized, this is who you are. You are children of God. You are his people. You're different. You are followers of Christ. So when John, in 1 John, says, God is light. In the Gospel of John, he talks about Christ coming and revealing himself and being the light in the world. That's what you should be. You should walk in that light. Those who follow Christ are following that light. This theme is repeated over and over again through the Gospel of John. John 8 verse 12 says, "Again Jesus spoke to them and saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Christ is the light shining in the world, the light who brings eternal life, the light who frees from sin. We're no longer in darkness. Now, there's a contrast between light and darkness. If it was dark in this room, if it was night, and we turned off lights, scary, right? But there's a difference. When you turn on the lights, everything becomes clear. If I do this, I can no longer see your faces because I can't see anything without my glasses. I'm blind. In fact, I got new glasses a month or two ago. They said, you're done. You followed the path we told you you're on. I am now on progressives. And I guess, you know, I was doing this when I was reading. So I guess I was at that point. But I finally had to do the progressives. Why? Because I'm blind without my glasses. When I put my glasses on, I can see. It's like light. I can see. I don't want to walk around like this. You really don't want me driving like this. Because I can't see anything. The non-Christian is walking in darkness. They do not see the world for what it truly is. It is a wasted darkness. It is a waste of time and energy. Everything evil consumes humanity. The darkness of the world. And everything you do outside of Christ and outside of God, if you are not a Christian, what is it worth? Nothing. I had a friend who used to say, it's all going to burn. It will. What eternal value is it outside of Christ? Outside of the light? There is no value. The one who believes no longer lives in that wasted darkness. They live in the light. They put on the glasses. Those who have believed have changed. If we turn to John 3, this is Nicodemus talking to Jesus. Most of you probably know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What does it say after that? John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christ came to save the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. But there is judgment for those who do not believe. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. If you do not believe in Christ, you are condemned. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than light. Because their works are evil. The light has come into the world. Here's your glasses. So you can see. And the world said, I don't want glasses. I don't want to see. I love evil. I want to stay where I'm at. Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that they may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Christ has come. The light has come. It shines forth. The truth of Christ is evident. He is the light. And people love the darkness. And you ask, how is this possible? Well, and then they're sitting there and you look and Lazarus has been in the tomb for days. Christ raises him from the dead. He's healing all these people. And the leadership says, let's kill him. Why? Because the deeds are evil. They love the darkness rather than light. And that's not unique. If you talk to people today, most of the people you talk to, when you actually start talking to them about what their life is like and start sharing the scriptures with them and sharing about Christ, there's a lot of excuses a lot of times. Well, you know, I'm not sure if I believe that and et cetera, et cetera. But when you get right down to it, they want to live the way they want to live. And they don't want anybody telling them differently. Because they love the way they're living. They love the darkness rather than light. I remember in college, my first year, an interesting roommate. He loved the darkness. Blackout curtains on the windows. It was really difficult to get up. Because at noon, it would be pitch black in our room. Because he wouldn't sleep. Which I was fine with. I like sleep too. Love the darkness. People love sin. God is light. Darkness and light are opposites. They cannot dwell together. There is no darkness in God. The one who has fellowship with God, partnership, commonality, they're going towards the same goal with him. If you are that, if you have fellowship with him, you walk in the light. Not in sin, not in darkness. Not hating your brother, which is talks about in 1 John chapter 2. The light is who Christ is. It's where we should live. It's how we should act. For it is who God is. So go back to 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say, you are Christians, you're saying you're a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, you're changed, you're unique, you're a child of God. When we've gone through 1 Peter, again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, if you remember this passage, Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been called out of the darkness into his light. You are chosen. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is who you are in Christ as a Christian. You have to act like it. Colossians 1 says this, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. God has done this. God has changed us. God is sanctifying us. Perseverance of the saints is, from a Calvinistic standpoint, what is used. God is doing it. It is a work of God in our life. We are his people. There's a change that happens. We have been delivered. We are part of God's kingdom. If this is true, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. If I say I love my wife and I treat her horribly and I do nothing kind for her, if every decision I make is self-centered and about me, if a couple were coming in for counseling and the guy said, yeah, of course I love my wife. And you said, well, you spent the last 5 nights partying and getting drunk every night, coming home, beating your wife. You basically don't take care of her, your family. You do whatever you want. How can you possibly say you love your wife? And you, right? Doesn't make sense. Because their walk isn't backing up what they're saying. It has to back up what they're saying. If you love your wife, you act on it. If you say you're a Christian, you'll act on it. It's like saying I'm a member of a gym and never going. The fellowship we have, that joining together in purpose, how can we possibly say we have fellowship with him, that partnership, and walk in darkness? Used to be discouraging at school. Sometimes you're placed into groups. You know how they match you up? And there's certain people you didn't want in your group. Why? Because you do all the work. And they'd say, I'm part of the group, but they weren't part of the group because they wouldn't do anything. There was no partnership there. They weren't part. Walking in darkness is part of a old life. It is in the past. There are people in this church, these churches, that John was talking to, who were basically saying, I can do whatever I want to do. I can sin as much as I want, and yeah, I'm a Christian, but I do whatever. Because it's not really sin. It's the flesh. It's nothing. It's meaningless. And John's saying, don't do that. That is not what a Christian looks like. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go down to verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time in the past, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. What are you trying to do in your life? Are you trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord? How do you make decisions? Walking in light, you're walking and living for God. It's a pattern of behavior. It's not a one-time event. Okay, we'll get to this later. We still sin. We still do wrong things. John is talking about a pattern of your life. What are you living for? How do you make the decisions? If I say, I love my wife, as a pattern of my life, how do I make a decision about what I do with my time? Spend time with her, right? How do I make a decision about what I do with my money? Do I go buy a fancy car that she can't use because it's a one-seater? What do I do in my life? My decisions are formed partly because I love her, right? If I say I'm a Christian, how do I make decisions in my life? I'm walking in the light. How do you decide what you do during the day? How do you decide how you respond to your wife, your kids, your boss? How do you decide what you watch on TV? How do you decide what you read? How do you decide how you work at your job? What is right? What is good? What is true? How can I please God and walk in the light in what I'm doing? That is how a Christian should think. As Romans says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Cast it away. Put on Christ. I live for Him. We live for God. We walk in the light. Turn back to 1 John. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we're walking in the light, we have fellowship. As Christians have fellowship. And that's, we talked about that last week. That is a wonderful thing. Why do churches have so many problems? Partly because some of the people in churches aren't saved. There is no fellowship, partnership. Same goals aren't there. The people here were telling him that living in sin was okay. They weren't part of the fellowship. They were liars. They were deceivers. They were leading people astray. They weren't cleansed by the blood. The blood of Christ, His death on the cross, cleanses us from all sin. When we believe, we're changed. We live for Him. He changes us. It's not a goodness that saves us. It's His cleansing work on the cross, His saving work on the cross. We cannot be good enough. The fellowship, I go back and forth on how to, I've heard different things. I've heard some people say only 10% of the church is saved. I think that's way low. I don't think that's true. But in American society, it's changing, but it's culturally good to go to church. But a lot of people go, and you start asking them and talking to them about what their life is like, and how they make decisions, and you ask them why you're doing what they're doing, that you're doing, and they're not walking in the light. Their goal is not serving Christ. And you go, how can you be saved? Because as a Christian, that's what your life is all about. It doesn't mean you don't fail. You fail all the time. We fail. But I live for Christ, for His glory. And I think that causes issues because there's a lack of fellowship. Because the goals of people, or everybody in the church, is often not truly to serve Christ fully. Everybody has different goals. And as a church, as people of God, as His children, our goal together is to walk in the light. Bring glory to Him and fellowship together. Because of what Christ did for us, we have fellowship with God, peace with God, through the blood of Christ. It is His death that cleanses us. We are reconciled by His blood. Because we're sinners. Verse 8 is interesting. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We need a Savior. We need the grace of God. We need the blood of the Lamb. The false teachers did not see their sin. They walked in darkness and did not see their need for a Savior. They're wandering around in the dark. And this is the reality where most of the world is. Most of the world is driving without glasses. If you are not saved, you're driving without glasses. And you're heading right for a tree. You're driving in the dark. Because the reality of what life is all about and the meaning of life is found in Christ alone. The purpose of everything. There is no meaning outside of the truth of Christ. Death on the cross is the salvation in Him. He's the creator of the universe. Walking in darkness is meaningless. The problem is, we as Christians who have the glasses, for some strange reason, sometimes think it's better to take them off and start driving. Why? We are no longer in the darkness. And when we do that, when we fail, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And there's a lot more to these verses. There's also a little bit of a theological thing, whether this is talking about when you get saved or after you're saved, confession, asking forgiveness. I'll tell you this. When I got saved, I confessed and Christ saved me and cleansed me. And I am now justified. I am in the eyes of God declared righteous. He has dealt with my sin. It's done. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, Romans 8:1. I am not condemned. I also know. There's also, when Jesus is talking and the Lord's Prayer, He says, ask for forgiveness. Tell to God and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Talk to God and confess. That's what we're supposed to do too. Because I still sin as a Christian. And that doesn't make it so I'm no longer justified. I'm not walking in sin. I fail. And when I fail and I ask forgiveness, I'm restoring that relationship with Christ. He's sanctifying me. He's changing me. He's causing me to grow. And sometimes my life gets kind of messed up and I need to get it right back on track. And I go to Him and I confess and ask forgiveness. The point John is trying to make is, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. The people in this church were saying, I have no sin. And John is saying, those guys are liars. They're walking in darkness. They don't understand who God is, what He has done. We are sinners in need of a Savior. He made it possible Christ did, so we can have fellowship with him because of his death on the cross. God is light. You understand who he is, his character, who Christ was, the power and majesty and glory and morality, the perfect holiness of God. In Revelation it says, they won't even need lamps because God is sitting there and his light's shining forth. That is who God is. And we, because of Christ's death on the cross, have fellowship with him. Because of that, because of what Christ has done in our lives are completely different where we walk in the light. That's our life goal. That's our passion, our purpose, our fellowship, our striving. That is who we are. We are his kids. We need to walk in the light. If this isn't happening, we're lying. I'm not saying you're a liar. That's scary. Makes me go, is this a reality? Is this who I really am? Examine yourself. Doesn't mean you don't fail. Do fail. But you walk in the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the grace you give us. Help us to live for you. Help us to serve you. Help us to keep our focus upon you in everything we say and do. In your name, amen.